afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banco BPM Full Year 2020 Group Results Presentation. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Roberto Peronaglio, Investor Relations Manager of Banco BPM. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much to be present with us tonight for the presentation of the full year result. Before leaving the floor, Mr. Giuseppe Castagna, let me remind that you can find the presentation on our website in Investor Relations page, and the Q&A section is reserved for investor, for financial analysts. Thank you very much. I leave the floor to Mr. Castagna.
Thank you, Roberto. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for being with us for this full year 2020 presentation. Let's start immediately on page five, where we have summed up some significant performance which our bank was able to reach in this very challenging environment of 2020. The first part is related to the asset quality, which we managed through credit management initiative linked to the moratoria, to the state guarantee loans, and through an effective monitoring very in deep to our portfolio. The second is the cost management. We were able to adapt a very flexible business model in order to reduce the cost and offset the lack of revenues of the first part of the year. The third part is the very strong commercial return we registered in the second part of the year in H2 with a very effective commercial activity from our branch network, but also leveraging on digital banking. This produced a very solid rebound in H2 with pre-provision income up 43% vis-à-vis H1. All these results allowed us in a complicated year in which, of course, we expected some rules to respect also in terms of dividend distribution, encourage us to be very cautious and prudent both on a conservative provisioning policy. We have in the last quarter, we have done 1.3 disposal between portfolio and single name. We have increased of 500 basis points the coverage of NPE. We have upfronting with IFRS 9 further amount in order to foster new disposal starting since 2021. At the same time, we were able to front-loading restructuring cost, able to foster 1,500 early retirement person, a scheme for 1,500 person, and a closure by June this year of another 300 branch, which sum up to the 750 we already have closed since the starting of the merger. This allowed us, all in all, to be back to distribute a dividend of 6 euro per share, and overall, to be very positive on the outlook of 2021. On page seven, we wanted just to give an outlook on the four year of our merger, in which we think we were very much able to build up a track record in de-risking and capital generation. As you know, we have reduced from 30 billion to 8.6 billion the amount of NPE, but at the same time, we were able to increase Common Equity Tier 1 from 11.4% to 13.3%, which is the result of 2020. Needless to say that in between, we have financed something like 1,000 basis points coming from revenue generation and asset management transaction, which allowed us to reduce of 21 billion the amount of NPE during these years. Starting from the credit profile, let's have some look about the main action of this year. Of course, the action were very much linked to the pandemic and to the measures taken by the government. We wanted to reach a target in sustaining the economy, and we were able to reach a new record lending, new lending in 2020. After 21 billion in 2019, we were able to lend 27.6 billion, including 10.2 billion assisted by state guarantees. We still had, at the beginning of the year, almost 4 billion of new loans assisted by state guarantees in pipeline, of which in January we were able to deploy 1 billion. The second target was to uphold the portfolio quality through the reduction of NPEs, 15% down to 8.6 billion and 7.5 NPE ratio. Thanks to a very favorable migration rate, we had only 1% of default rate, to a very low market share in the moratoria, 5% versus 7.3%, which is our natural market share on loans, on checking very carefully the quality of the moratoria, both for the one who already expired in December, which were an amount of 3 billion, with a very marginal default rate of 0.5%, and the same rate we are experiencing in the early engagement campaigns for the moratoria, which are coming expiring in the next few months. We have, as we will check later on, reviewed a big amount of this kind of moratoria, and we already have some good expectation about the potential repayment. The other step was, as I mentioned before, to reinforce, to massively reinforce the coverage. We have reached for the first time a total of 50% of NPE coverage. Particularly, we have upgraded UTP coverage to 43.7%, 46 basis year on year. But if we include the Django disposal, the amount of coverage was even more than that. All these, considering a tough scenario for 2021, of course related to the COVID, and also provisioning further amount to start the risk, further de-risking since 2021. The last objective was to contain the capital absorption, and we think that we had reached also these results, having 86% of loans assisted by state guarantee at zero risk weighting. On page 8, a focus on the moratoria. As I mentioned, we started with 16 billion of total requests. In December, we had 3 billion of moratoria expiring, with again a default rate of 0.5. For another billion, more or less, we had some different measures often linked to state guarantee. The remaining portfolio as of end of the year is 12.2 billion, of which 10 billion coming from the government and 2.3 from the ABI moratoria. This 12.2 billion are 80% of these are client of low medium risk as rating, 12% mid high risk, and only 8% high risk. If we go into the sector more hit by the with more impact from the COVID, we have a total of 2.7, 2.8 billion of risks under moratoria, of which 2.4 billion under the best rating category. In order to check into these couple of billion, we have run, we are still running early engagement campaigns activated on a total portfolio of selected mid-high and high-risk clients amounting for 2.2 billion, out of which only 2.8 billion are nowadays in watch list and only 0.6% are with signals of default. The outstanding moratoria related to our performing loans amounts to only 12%. On page 9, we start with some figures, starting from asset quality, again coming back from 9.1 to 7.5 in gross NPE, from 5.2 to 3.9 on net NPE, 39% to 43.7 for UTP coverage, and 56 to 59 to bad loan coverage. If we include write-offs, we reach 65%. At the same, I would say, at a very good level, we of course have also our liquidity and funding situation. LCR is an higher of 191%, and NSFR ratio is much higher than 100%. We have 20 billion of unencumbered eligible securities, and we have reserves both on amortized cost and HTCS, respectively, for 875 million and 198 million, with a very, very strong capital gain. Coming to capital, again, we reached 13.3%, coming from 13% of December 19, with an increased MDA buffer thanks to the many issues we had in 2020 and beginning on 2021 of 81 and Tier 2. The total amount passed from 250 basis points to 450 basis points in January this year after the last issue. Again, we propose a dividend distribution of 6 cents per share, which amount to 2.8% of dividend yield on the last quotation, which is above 3% if we consider an average of the first month of the year. On page 10, we have some figure about the operating performance and the commercial performance, both very encouraging. Second half on first half on NII plus 8%, net commission plus 3.7%, operating cost minus 5.4%, pre-provision income plus 43%. And this shows also how we really had an impact from the first wave of the COVID, but basically we were able to neutralize the negative effect of the second wave with these results. The commercial performance is also very good. Core net performing loans plus 8% year on year. New lending at a record of more 27.6 billion plus 29% year on year. Deposit 13 billion plus. And asset under management 2.2% year on year, 3% on the last quarter 2020. Again, cost saving with a number of maneuvers, which almost many of them we can consider extraordinary. We were able to offset the partial lack of revenues, especially from asset under management, and we reached a further saving of 174 million, but the profitability we have generated allowed us also to provision 260 million gross in order to foster the agreement with trade unions already provisioned in 2020, and with an exit forecast of 1,500 people and the closure of 300 branches. This was also facilitated, and also the decision of closing further branch is coming also from a renewal activity on digital banking, which strongly supported the commercial activity. We have some figures in the page 11, mobile transaction plus 61%, app users plus 26%, 1.3 million. Investment orders executed plus 21%, and so on, with a share of digital transaction up to 83%. On page 12, there is some specific action we have taken and we're still undertaking in order to increase even more the digital approach. The first one is related to the advanced analytics capabilities we have adopted in order to foster more than 20 customer journeys on main commercial areas, which were able to allow more than 10 million remote digital contact with our clients, driving over 20% of contribution on total retail sales. Another important step was the full digital platform serving SMEs and private client in order to finance the Superbonus and Ecobonus initiatives. We have already 3,000 operations in pipeline only after a few weeks. And this is also completely digital. We enable all our personal relationship managers and wealth manager advisor to remote advisory. Nowadays, all the transactions can be executed from remote. We launched also a new mobile-first platform app platform, which was ranked at the best level from the main customer ratings, and had registered an increase in customer usage of 24%. Finally, we are now onboarding individual customers with the digital identity in order to reach the complete paperless relationship with client by this year. On page 13, also on ESG, we wanted to mention some achievements we have reached. We have started an ESG committee headed by the CEO to coordinate and control the ESG activities. The board oversight is allocated to risk and control committee. The executive remuneration is linked to ESG KPI. Also on environment, clients, people and community, we have started many initiatives, some of them already quite successful. Likewise, the 100% of usage of renewable energy with a strong reduction of CO2 emission, the credit platform for clients investing in sustainability, again, the Superbonus digital platform, the asset under management fully compliant with this ESG policy amounting to more than 17 billion. And then, of course, our internal work with our people on a different inclusive program and aimed at valorizing talents. Also in the community, we were able to distribute more than 6 million of initiatives in order to help our communities during the difficult period of COVID. Let's go to some figure on page 14. As you will see, we have put vis-à-vis the H1 and H2 in order to make you understand better how the reaction of the bank allowed to reach the results we are mentioning. On NII, we increased 8% almost in the second half, allowing the bank to reach the same result of 2019. Of course, even though we increased almost 4% fees and commission, this was the results who paid more difference in terms of lower revenues vis-à-vis 2019. We had something like 120 million of difference vis-à-vis last year. We recovered something in NFR where we had some one-off like the Nexi and SIA transaction, but also a very good return from the govies and trading activity. All in all, total revenues stand up to 4,152 million. almost 200 million less than last year, but we were able to recover almost 170 million with lower cost, showing how the flexibility we can use on cost can also offset a difficult period, of course, coming from not internal reasons, but coming from the general situation, in this case from the economic effect of the pandemic. All in all, so we were able to have a pre-provision income basically at the same level of 2019, only 1.4 lower year on year. Of course, we were very attentive as far as the loan loss provision were concerned. We prefer to be very consistent and very prudent on this side. We not only financed the 1.3 billion of disposal, but we decided also to front load some IFRS 9 provision, apart from building up more coverage on UTP and bad loans. We will see afterwards how much is the core activity in related to loan loss provision, how much is what we consider one-off. Then, of course, we have the restructuring cost, which I mentioned, the 260 million gross, which are 187 million net, systemic charge for 143 million, which lead us to a net income stated of 21 million, but an adjusted one of 330 million. Let's go back to the revenues. On page 15, we have again some core revenues split for quarter on the right side and for half year on the left side. We will see some much details in the next page. So on page 16, we will have NII, which in the second half was 8% higher than the first half. This was mainly due to the TLTRO. As you can see, the third and the fourth quarter, of course, experienced a massive increase vis-à-vis the first two quarters. The reduction in the Q4 of around 10 million comes half from the reduction of the Euribor, so the liability spread coming down from minus 57 to minus 62, and partially also from non-commercial activity, especially the cost of the liquidity we place from TLTRO. On page 17, the dynamic of the net fees. This is a 3.7% second half on first half. If you compare Q3 and Q4 to Q2, which was, of course, the more affected by the pandemic, we have an increase of 11% and 14% respectively, which is still growing. We are having, as you can see on the right side, month by month revenue generation is increasing to 150 million in December, but I have to say that also January and the first week of February are at a record level of investment product placements. We can see better on page 18, investment product placements, as you can see, after a quite good first quarter of 3.7 million, only partially affected in March by the pandemic, we had a very low Q2 on 2.4, then rebounded to 3.2 and 3.7 for a total amount of 13 billion of investment placement. On the right bottom side, you see how the first month, the January 2021, was 17% higher than January 20, which was in turn a very good month for us. And the first week of February is already 600 million of production. As far as lending is concerned, on page 19, again, plus 29% year on year, 27 billion of new loans, 24 related to enterprise and corporates, 3.3 to private individuals. If we split ordinary business and COVID measures driven business, we have 63% in ordinary business, 37% of state guarantee measures. On the right side, some indication about the asset spreads. In the first half of the year, we still were lending at a lower spread vis-à-vis the outflows, also for the starting of the COVID measures under 30,000 euro, which of course were being 100% guaranteed, were the one at a lower spread. But in the second part of the year, we not only recovered the spread of the new loans to 175 basis points, but also we registered some positive basis point vis-à-vis the outflows of the second half, which more or less is not that different from the outflows that we will have in 2021. So if we will be able to maintain the same pace of new asset spread, we should have some bettering, some better figure as forecast for 2021. On page 20, the quality of the portfolio. On the left side of the slide, you can see the flow of new lending. As you can see, both the ordinary business and the COVID measures are for the best quality of our client, only 5% and 2%, 7% all in all, both on ordinary business and COVID measures are in the medium high and high risk, only 1% in the high risk. Meanwhile, the stock is on the lower part of the slide, still continue to improve, showing more lending vis-à-vis low-risk client and progressively lower lending vis-à-vis high and medium-high risk client. All in all, in the best part of our portfolio, we have reached 88.6% of our stock. As far as the further increase of state guarantee loans, on the right side of the slide, you see that we had still a pipeline from 2020 of 3.7 billion beginning of the year. 1 billion has already been provided to our clients in January. We will consider a potential estimates for up to 5 billion for 2021. On page 21 is again the amount of core loans and deposit and asset under management we already mentioned before. Let's go directly to the operating cost on page 22. Since the beginning of the merger, we had 630 million of reduction in cost. You'll see on the right side of the slide, we started at 3,060 million in full year 16. Of course, this was excluding the restructuring cost of the merger, and we ended up this year to 2,430 million. Of course, we consider that at least 120 million comes from savings on personnel, which are linked to the pandemia. So coming from reimbursement had in this respect for people not able to work, to lower variable remuneration, which of course are not repeated in 2021, but still we are a further room to improve the normal activity in cost management thanks to headcount reduction of 1,500 people, which will be massively utilized in 2021. We believe that we can have, by the year end, 1,300 people, most of them in the first part of the year, which will leave the bank, starting to factorize at least 40-45 million already in 2021, coming up, going up to 109 million in 2022 and the total consideration 125 million in 2023. The same, we will have some further savings on the reduction of the retail network. We consider that even though for this year they will have only a minimum of 3-4 million of cost savings, this will come up to 50 million already from next year, 50 million of savings. Going back to asset quality on page 23, some figure about the stock reduction and coverage. We went down 1.5 billion. On the right side, you can see the reduction. Starting from 10 billion, we had 1 billion of new inflow, the default rate. We had 1.4 billion of basically workouts and cure rate, and then the disposal of 1.1 billion related to Django and Titan. The total consideration, so now amount of to 8.6 billion. The migration rates for 2020 were again 1% default rate, 7.5% danger rate, and 3.3% cure rate. Of course, default rate and danger rate were better because of the moratoria. Cure rate was worse than last year because of the difficulties in having judiciary composition, agreement with clients, and auctions, of course, due to the closure coming from the pandemic. On the right side, we will have the full coverage split into different categories. Again, we think we have reached a very cautious amount of coverage, especially considering that we have 60% of our secured, of our NPE, which are secured. On page 24, NPE ratios, again, this is an outlook on the upside of the slide about the massive reduction we had both in gross and net NPE and in Texas ratio starting from the merger and reaching very comfortable 7.5% and 3.9% net and the Texas ratio of 39%. If we follow EBA definition, we are down to 6.7% of NPE ratio. Some detail about LLPs. The global amount of 1.337 million we have split into two different categories. One is the core drivers, which amount at almost 70 basis points, and the other one is both the disposal, the effort we had from the disposal and the strengthening of the coverage on UTP and bad loans, and also the IFRS 9 impact both on performing loans due to the deterioration of the forecast and also front-loading provision for possible future delisting, de-risking starting from 2021. And this is an amount of more or less 50-55 basis points. So all in all, we take advantage from the results in order to be very cautious and pave the way to a much better 2021. On page 25, some number about balance sheet. I already mentioned the liquidity and funding. Let me say that we have bonds outstanding for 19 billion. We had a quite active issuing during 2020 and January 2021. You will see the different issuing we have done, both in senior, non-preferred, AT1 and TR2. On page 26, I would say the Italian govies are still having a lower impact vis-à-vis the total securities portfolio, and in 2021, due to the reduction of the spread, we will forecast another consistent reduction in the percentage of Italian govies on total securities. let me just take your attention on the very low duration of our portfolio. Finally, capital adequacy, we feel that is a very solid position, both in terms of capital and in terms of buffers. The capital through this capital walk that you see on page 27, we started 13%, we ended up to 14.1 in September, where we anticipated the effect of the headwind we expected for the last quarter in almost 50 basis points. End of the day, they were almost 50 basis points, so is 13.6 the post-impact numbers, building up the performance due to the increasing LLPs and restructuring cost of Q4 and some positive effect from regulatory, these coming especially from the treatment of the software, we reached 13.4%, and after the proposed distribution of the dividend, we end up to 13.3%. Much even better, the MDA buffer, where we started 250 basis points, which we consider also our target level in the midterms, but as a matter of fact, after the issue of the 81 January this year, we are up 49 basis points for common equity fully phased and 614 basis points for phased in. As far as common equity tier 1 phased in, we are at 14.6%. So all in all, to have a quick recap, significant rebound in the second half of all the revenues, which is very encouraging for 2021, strong and attention and safeguard for the quality of portfolio, both in terms of action in order to detect at first level any possible hint of deterioration, and also increasing massively the coverage in order to foster higher reduction in NPE, further reduction in NPE. Again, the cost efficiency, not only in 2020, but also with the already booked provision for the retirement scheme, in order to offset partially the one-off cost of 2020. Some outlook on 2021 on page 29. We think, thanks to the TLTRO, which of course will last for the entire year in 2021, and we are also higher capability to draw TLTRO, and in our funding plan we think we can expand of another 10 billion drawing TLTRO for this year. We think we can reach a very consistent increase in NII, as much as we think we can have a very strong recovery in commission, both coming from investment products, thanks to the results I mentioned and we are already experiencing at the beginning of 2021, and also to the commercial activity where we had some maneuver which should give us some room for increasing the commercial banking fees activity. Total income is expected to be higher than 2020. On the cost side, of course, I already say that we can only partially offset the massive reduction we register in 2020, but we are confident that with the pace of reduction we have done during this year, we can be able to have a PPI slightly better than last year, notwithstanding lower RNF results. cost of risk, also in this case, let me split in two different parts. We think that the normal cost of risk will be more or less at the level of what we provisioned under the normal cost of risk, the 70 basis points for the ordinary activity. But of course, we have considered that there will be still a macroeconomic environment which may entail some additional non-core provision, which in any case we expect to be at a lower level than the one we registered in 2020. For capital, we confirm that our targets remain MDA buffer 250 basis points and Common Equity Tier 1 at higher than 12%. Thank you for your attention. I leave the way for your question.